Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Hebrews, if you didn't know to do that, go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, going line upon line, precept upon precept. Today we're looking at part number 4 of the series that we've been in called Homeland. Has anybody gotten anything good out of the series thus far, Homeland? I'm glad that 5 of you have. If today, after the 5 of you that have got something, if I can get 5 more people, if I can get 10 people in this church to get something out of the message, I've done my job. Amen. Has anybody got anything out of the Word of God thus far? Man, I'll tell you. So we've been in this series called Homeland, and we're going to continue exactly where we left off last week. If you didn't hear it, you can always go online for free and listen to that message or watch it and grab the CD after service if you'd like. Lots of different ways to get the word into you. We believe in that. Today we're going to continue in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We've been looking at the section of Scripture, particularly looking at verses number 13 through verse number 16. And this is a section of Scripture speaking about those, Abraham and his kin and his family, who had received the promises of God but did not see them come to pass in the course of their life, but yet they confessed them, they stood on them, they believed, they walked in faith, and God accounted to them to be patriarchs and leaders of faith to us later on in the centuries to come, to read in the Word of God. Last week, as we were journeying in this study of the subject of homeland, learning that the home, that this earth, that this life is not our final destination or the reason why we exist, that we realized that there's something about understanding. When we understand our identity, when we know who we are, we know why we're here. We have a purpose in life. I believe with all of my heart we're not here just because something crawled out of the ocean one day and grew legs, and because that thing grew legs, something else grew legs, and all of a sudden we became monkeys and monkeys became humans. I just refuse to believe that there's that kind of an emptiness within humanity. But rather, we are here for a purpose. We are here for a reason. We are here for a destiny on earth. And we realize that when we understand who we are, that we know what that purpose is, and that purpose guides us to know what to do with our life. Last week we discussed, as we were talking about the subject of homeland, we discussed that we are citizens of heaven. That's why we are. That's who we are. Jesus Christ died that we might be citizens of heaven, brethren, brothers and sisters in the family of God. And that gives us an identity. And when we realize that who we are, we realize that our purpose is not just to be a citizen, but rather now our purpose is to be an ambassador or a representative of Jesus in everything that we do. And we learn that walking out our lives is not about talk, because we learn that talk is cheap. And we learn that it's not just about acting, because actors are good at acting. But there's something more, something deeper on the inside of us, and that is our identity of who we are, to walk out our lives just like Jesus did, as Jesus said, to follow him and to imitate him. And that's what our purpose in life is to live a life that represents Jesus Christ. And as we left off last week in the subject of walking like Jesus, today I want to pick up the subject of walking like Jesus, continuing on in this stream of thought. And today, looking at Hebrews 11th chapter, we're going to focus in on verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 15, and it says, "And truly, if they had come out, or if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return." Now, this is speaking in context from verse number 13 to verse number 16 about Abraham and his kin and his family, Isaac and Jacob, who had left the land of their fathers seeking after God, going in a place that they did not know, going in a direction that they did not know. God was directing them in their lives. The Bible says that they would have had opportunities. If they would have brought back to thought, if they would have processed where they had come from, they would have had plenty of opportunity to go back to where they came if they wanted to. But the context of this verse is that they didn't, that they pressed on, that they kept going. And we learned over the course of looking at Hebrews 11 chapter that Abraham is a pioneer. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, we talked in the month of August about Abraham leaving his father's country. And Abraham went into uncharted territory. He went to a place that he did not know where he was going. All he knew was to follow God and to follow God's direction. Abraham was a pioneer. And today I want to think about that, and that's the focus today, is the context of what we're going to talk about is the pioneering spirit. You see, because Abraham was a pioneer. Abraham was an example for you and I to follow. Now, a pioneer, what is a pioneer? A pioneer is not somebody who got in a covered wagon and went one side of the country to the other side of the country, okay? So when I say Abraham was a pioneer, I don't want you to think Abraham got in a wagon on the Oregon Trail and started something new, okay? There's something bigger than a pioneer than just what we know as American pioneers. A pioneer, let's talk about it. What is a pioneer? A pioneer is a person who is among the first to explore, to settle, or to discover a new area of activity or thought. A pioneer is a person who is among the first to explore, to discover, or to settle a particular activity, place, or thought. Abraham went to a place he didn't know, and he pioneered. He was the first person to leave his father's country. And Abraham was a pioneer. Now, we left off last week talking about this, to be like Jesus, to walk like Jesus is where we began last week, it's where we finished last week, and it's today where we're going to continue studying this week. We learned that we have got to, or we are called to, walk like Jesus. And to walk like Jesus, as we learned last week, is to imitate him. Paul the Apostle said to us to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. To not just walk, or not just to talk like Jesus, but rather to live, to every fiber of our being, be like Jesus was. Well, can I tell you something about Jesus? Jesus was a pioneer. Jesus was a pioneer. As a matter of fact, Jesus was the OG pioneer. I thought it would go better in this service, man. I was in Orange County this last week, and one of the pastors was talking to other pastors, and there were a lot of people from the Midwest, and he talked about being an OG. And everybody was like, what? What's an OG? Come on, y'all from San Bernardino, you know. Jesus was the OG pioneer, the original pioneer. Last week when we were looking at the Bible, we were looking at the Word of God, we saw a story about Peter and John. They said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, what we have inside of us, Jesus, I give to you. Remember the story of that, the lame man, he received strength in his legs and in his ankles, and he leaped for joy, and he began to praise God. And I told you right there after that, Peter saw the opportunity. He began to preach Jesus to everybody that was watching. Well, in Acts, the third chapter, Peter, in this sermon or in this opportunity of preaching, Peter says this word to the people that are listening to his message. Peter says, you, Acts chapter 3, you killed, talking to the Jews, you said, let this murder, let this death be upon us. He said, you killed the author of life. Now, if you have a New King James Version, it'll say the prince of life. This Greek word author or prince is widely debated among scholars as to whether it's author or whether it's prince. In the New King James, it says prince, but in the New Living Translation, in the New International, the New Revised Standard, in the New English, and in the English, Contemporary English Bible, the word author is used. He's saying you killed, you brought upon yourselves the destruction of the author of life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of that. That word author is originator. Jesus was the first to come and to pioneer life that we might find it in him. He was the first to come and to show us not only a way of life, but the way to life. Jesus was the original pioneer. So much so that even John, in the very first chapter of John, in the very first verse, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says, everything was in Jesus, and everything that was created through Jesus. Jesus was there from the very beginning, pioneering, the original pioneer. So we see that Jesus is a pioneer. Now I want to tie where we left off into where we're going today. We left off last week that to walk like Jesus is to imitate him, to be like him, to follow him in his footsteps, to do what he did, to say what he said, to live what he lived, not just to say it in words or in actions. And if Jesus is a pioneer, church, there's something that you need to understand about you in your own life. You are called to be a pioneer in your life. You are called to pioneer, to be among the first to explore, to discover, to settle new areas in your life, in your family, in your world. You are called to be a pioneer. Every person in this room, in every season of their lives, are called to be pioneers for Jesus. Some of you in this place, you might have a hard time thinking back to it. Some of you, it was just yesterday. But when you were a kid, Everybody used to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's my favorite question that I ask little kids. I love hearing their vision. My little four-year-old, I ask him, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be the president. I want to be a scientist. I want to be a dad. I want to be a mom. I want to be something bigger than me. There was something planted inside of humanity. You see, when God created humanity, God said, let us make man in our image. And God said to man, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. You see, on the inside of our DNA, it's ingrained in our genetics, is to do something greater than just us, to stop, to not just exist, to not just dwell, to not just live our life and hope that we can get the best out of it, but rather to press on, to pioneer, to be world changers, to do something that nobody else has done before. But then, as you've experienced it, and I've experienced it, life happens. You blink and a decade goes by. The dreams that you once had in your youth and as a child begin to fade away. We've experienced things like discouragement and disappointment. We've seen things like failures in our life. We felt, because of the decisions that we've made and the paths that we've taken in our lives, we felt the insecurities and the inadequacies for us to go and to be what God has called us to be, a pioneer. And we begin to look and we begin to say, why should I pioneer? Somebody else will do it. I believe one of the greatest devices that the enemy has, that the devil has for his church, is the device of apathy. To look at our lives, to look at things around and say, that's not my problem, that's the politician's problem. To look at what's going on within the realm of spirituality and say, well, that's not my problem, that's the pastor's problem. To look at what's going on and that's not my problem, it's my neighbor's problem. And to be disconnected and discontent with our lives and just to say, I'm here and I'm going to settle in my life because I want safety and I want security and I want consistency and stability in my life. And that pioneering spirit on the inside of us begins to get pushed back as life begins to progress because we seek out safety, we seek out security, we seek out stability in our lives. But when I look at the church, when I look at the Bible, when I look at the book of Genesis and I read through to the book of Revelation, when I see some of these people that God has chosen to write their stories down in the course of history that we might see it, I see people that didn't settle for safety. I see people that didn't settle for security. I see people that didn't look at consistency and stability in a 9-to-5, in a little piece of land that they might settle and try to be the best that they can in life to leave their children something. I see people that stepped out. I see people that pioneered. I see people that went somewhere. I see people that did things. I see people that did things that changed the world. When I read the stories of people like Stephen in the Bible, or Philip, or Peter, or John, or Paul, I don't see ever in their lives the season in which they sat back and they kept on stability and said, I've got a good part of my life. I've worked really hard and now I've achieved and I've seen a harvest and now I'm going to sit on that. I see them pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing to pioneer again and again and again. But we've been knocked down through experiences, set aside. Our dreams have been laid to waste and dead on the inside of us. You see, God has given you on the inside of each and every one of you in this place a spirit of pioneering because you were called to be pioneers in your life. You were called to do something that nobody else has done. And it may not be something that nobody else has done in the world. It may be something that nobody else has done in your life. Nobody else has done in your family. You say, Pastor Luke, that's a great message. This is a message of a young man to young men. Church, at no season in your life is it ever too late to pioneer for God. You're never too young. You're never too old. You're never too far gone. You're never too immature to pioneer for God. No matter where you are in life, it is never too late for you to pioneer for Jesus. There was a man, his name was Harlan. Harlan had many jobs throughout the course of his life. Harlan had been things like a motel hand. He had worked as a mule hand and different jobs and different professions. At the age of 40, Harlan was running a gas station. And as he saw busy travelers on the highway coming through his gas station, he got an idea to package and to sell entire meals to busy people as they were going on their journey. Throughout the course of this time in his 40s, he began to gain notoriety. His food was good. People really liked it. And they would stop off at his little gas station and his little restaurant that he would cook out of his home to serve people full meals. But then something happened. A highway got built on the other side of town. And that highway took all of the busy travelers away from Harlan's new business. And at the age of 65, Harlan was bankrupt. And he took his first Social Security check that he had received, and he invested it into a franchise. And a little while later, he started another franchise. And he started another franchise. And he started another franchise. Harlan became known to you and me as Colonel Sanders, who started Kentucky Fried Chicken. At 65 years old, pioneered a new industry. Moses was 80 years old when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It is never too late for you to pioneer in your life. But we have experiences, hardships, disappointments, and failures, and they stop us from pioneering. But you see, Jesus was our example. Jesus lived a life just as we lived, a life of disappointment. A life of failures. You think Judas wasn't a failure? Jesus lived a life in where he had expectations that didn't come. In Nazareth, he marveled because nobody believed. But yet, despite all that, Jesus was a pioneer. And as Jesus was a pioneer, you and I, we are called to be pioneers. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Philippians in the second chapter. Philippians in the second chapter. I'm going to read it to you on the New Living Translation because I just like the modern day vernacular, but you can read it in your New King James Bible. Go there and let's read it together. Paul the Apostle, speaking to his church, says these words to you and I. He says that we must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Would anybody agree to what Paul says right there? We must have the same attitude of Jesus Christ. And the New King James, it says, you must have the like mind or the mind of Christ. We must have that same mindset. What was that mindset that he's about to talk about? Here it is. Look what it says. It says, Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to hold on to, safety and security and stability. Why? Because it says that he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the position of a human slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, the Bible says, he humbled himself in obedience and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Here's Jesus in a position of God, equal with God in heaven, where there is no night, where there is no weeping, where there is no sorrow. And Jesus doesn't see that as a position to cling to, but rather he realizes that there's a purpose, that there's a destiny, that somebody has to pioneer a way to life. And Jesus was the one who left everything he had to come and to be forever known now as a man, a mortal, a human being who gave himself to die on a cross for us. The Bible says that God exalted him. He lifted him up in the place of highest honor. And he gave Jesus the name above all other names, that every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Paul says to you and I, we must have the attitude of Jesus, who gave up what he had, who left what was comfortable and stepped out into the realm of being the first, into that pioneering realm to find and to develop and to cultivate a way of life and to life through himself. Jesus was a pioneer. And because Jesus was a pioneer, you and I were pioneers today. Many of you in this place are already pioneers in your life. You're the first person in your family to know Jesus Christ. You're a pioneer. You're the first person to share and the gospel and see somebody come to Jesus. You are a pioneer. The first person in your family to graduate. You're a pioneer. The first person to go to university. You're a pioneer. The first person to start a business. You are a pioneer. Many of you moved from one area of the United States or California to seek a dream. You are a pioneer. You have children. You've never had them before. You're a pioneer. You're a dad. You're a pioneer. You are having special children with special needs. You are pioneering in your life. But God has set on side of each and every one of us the spirit of a pioneer. And a spirit of a pioneer doesn't sit upon what they have accomplished. They press and they press and they press and they press. Paul DeYoung, a great pastor, I love Paul DeYoung to death. He said, he's been here a few times at the church, pastor of the greatest church in New Zealand. Paul DeYoung said that the future does not belong to those who sit upon the mountain they've conquered. A pioneer does not sit upon the mountain that they've conquered, but rather they see now because of the summit that they're on, they see the next mountain. And they pioneer, and they see the next mountain, and they pioneer, and they see the next mountain, and they pioneer. In your life, you might have pioneered, and it might have been decades ago, but that doesn't mean that's the only thing you do in life. You see, God has given to each and every one of us the spirit of a pioneer to step out into the unknown and do something for the glory of Jesus Christ. Your identity, you've learned. You're citizens of heaven. You're ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and now you are pioneers for the kingdom of God. You are a pioneer. Pastor Luke, that's great. I'm so glad. Amen. I'm going to walk out of this place, and I'm going to say that I'm a pioneer. But what does that mean? Here it is. You're a pioneer. Live like a pioneer. Live like a pioneer. Live like a pioneer. In Hebrews 11 chapter, where we are at today, I want to come back to that and we'll kind of look through Hebrews 11, 15 and see some characteristics of pioneers. This is a verse describing people who had the opportunity, who had the chance, who if they wanted to could have returned home, but they didn't because they were pioneers. So here we can see some characteristics that pioneers have. Pioneers have these characteristics. Jesus had these characteristics, and that means for you and for me, you have these characteristics. You just may not recognize them or may not walk in them, but you have them because you are called to be a pioneer through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11, chapter verse number 15, it says, "And truly, if they had called to mind," there's one, the country from which they had come out, there's another one, "they would have had opportunity," another one, "to return." There we go. Four characteristics that we see right here in this verse that pioneers all have, that Jesus had, and that you have as a pioneer through Jesus Christ. The very first thing it says is, if they had called to mind, they had thought, they had seen, they had looked at, if they would have gone back and thought about those things. You see, pioneers see what no one else does. Pioneers see what no one else sees. Everybody else might see a problem. Everybody else might see an issue. Everybody else might see what seems to be obvious, but pioneers see what nobody else sees. There was a man, his name was Henry Ford. Henry Ford is a staple in American history. Why? Not because he developed or invented the automobile, but rather Henry Ford saw a problem. You see, there were people that were building automobiles. It was a revolutionary idea that would literally change the way people lived their life. But the problem was, it was so slow and so expensive to produce an automobile that nobody could afford it. So here is a solution that they can't get into people's hands. And Henry Ford said these words, "Don't see a problem, see a solution." And he was the man credited not for inventing the automobile, but the man credited for inventing the assembly line, which revolutionized manufacturing in the United States in the industrial era and literally turned the world upside down in the ways it thought to create something because a man didn't see a problem, he saw a solution. Pioneers see what nobody else sees. That's why the Bible tells us to not be gossips as Christians. to not be complainers as followers of Jesus, to not have idle talk. Why? Because gossips are talking about somebody else's problem. You see, complainers are talking about what's going on and they're finding a problem. And idle talk is discussing things that aren't worthy of it. But see, God said, I don't want you to be people that talk about other people's problems. I don't want you to see the issue. I have called you. I have set on the inside of you a pioneering spirit to see not the problem, the solution. To see what nobody else sees. We were there a couple of months ago in Hebrews 11 chapter, verse number 1, talking about the subject of faith. The Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of? It's on the screen, guys. Okay. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of? Not seen. The world does not see that, but you and your faith in Jesus Christ, because you've got Jesus on the inside of you, you begin to see things that nobody else sees. The world might see in you a failure, a loser, a washout, but you see what Jesus sees, because the spirit of a pioneer is on the inside of you, because the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith sees what others do not see. I thank God for mom and dad 28 years ago on the rim of the world, looking down on the Inland Empire, a valley of lights, in a place where everybody else saw a graveyard of churches, in a city where nobody had built a church in 60 years. They saw what nobody else saw. They saw a church. They saw people who were worth investing. They saw people who God loved. Even though nobody else loved them, God loved them. And because of that, they founded the Rock Church and World Outreach Center and became an oasis. Because pioneers see what no one else sees. You see what no one else sees in your life. Second thing we see there in Hebrews 11, chapter verse number 15, is they had come out. Where they came out of, the land that they left. Pioneers go where no one has gone. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. To boldly go where no man has gone before. Hey, I'm a Trekkie. My mom and dad raised me on sci-fi. I like Star Trek is awesome. It's even better than Star Wars. Anyways. Okay, I may have lost half the crowd. You see, pioneers go where no one else goes. Everybody else sees safety. Everybody else sees security. Everybody else sees consistency and stability. But pioneers say, I want more. Pioneers say, when everybody else is conforming, when everybody else is giving up, pioneers are the ones that say, I will not bow. I will not give in. I will not give up. I will go where nobody else has gone before. October 31st. Is known in America as a day where we celebrate darkness. But you see, there was a man hundreds of years ago on October 31st that could no longer give in, that could no longer hold on and continue doing what everybody else was doing. In a season when the church, the institutionalized church, had strayed away from the will of God, and they began to sell, if I could paraphrase, get out of hell tickets for a price, one man said, I cannot stand for this. When everybody else told him to be quiet, when everybody else told him to shut up and conform and to stay where you are, one man said, I cannot do this. And he wrote 95 theses, 95 thoughts as to what God wanted for his people. And he nailed them to the door of his cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany, with the price and with the process in his mind and the passion to get the word of God into the people's hands. Martin Luther began the reformation of Christianity, to which you and I are seeds of it today, because one man decided to go where nobody else would go. To not bow when everybody else bowed. Pioneers go where no one else will go. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew, the 28th chapter, we know this is the Great Commission. Jesus tells them in verse number 19, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations. Behind me is a leaf. Behind the leaf is a pallet. Behind the pallet is a curtain. Behind the curtain is a wall. And on that wall it says, go into all the world. You see, Jesus was telling these Galilean fishermen, these tax collectors, these country boys that had never left their town, never left their country. Jesus said to these men, you are going places for me. In Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8, Jesus says to them, he says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Great, we're already here in Jerusalem. No, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the world. You are going places for Jesus. You're going to go places as a pioneer nobody else has ever been. Maybe you're going somewhere you've never been before. Going somewhere in your processes, going somewhere in your thoughts, going somewhere in your identity, going somewhere with the dreams that you have that nobody has gone before. You are pioneering for Jesus Christ by going where no one else has gone before. Pioneers, they see what no one else has seen. They go where no one else goes. Pioneers, look what it says in verse number 15. Put it back up there real quick for me, guys, if you could. Verse number 15, it says they would have had opportunity. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob met all sorts of different opportunities through opposition to go home. This isn't working out. Let's just return. You see, pioneers make opposition opportunity. Pioneers make opposition opportunity. Hard times will come. Jesus guarantees this to his disciples, to you and I. He says, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have already pioneered a way for you to succeed. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Pioneers make opposition opportunity. In 1976, a young man and his partner, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, started a company called Apple Computing. They created the Apple I, and it was cool, but then they created a year later the Apple II, a computer that revolutionized personal computing. And quickly, they skyrocketed to fame, they skyrocketed to wealth, and they were happy and wealthy, and everything was going well for them. As the company was growing, they recruited the CEO of Pepsi to come in to be the CEO of Apple, as Steve Jobs was the creative director of Apple Computing. And 10 years after Steve Jobs began his company, he was fired from Apple. He says that the rug was pulled out from underneath him, that he lived a couple of months, he said, in chaos and confusion because he just didn't know what to do with his life. And shortly after he was fired from Apple and he gathered himself together, he started another small boutique computer company called Next Computing. Shortly after that, he started a small animation studio called Pixar. 10 years later, in 1996, a struggling computer company, Apple, bought out Next Computing to bring Steve Jobs back to the company in which he was formed. And Steve Jobs, as you know the story of Steve Jobs, Apple Computer, Apple revolutionized the computing industry. Apple revolutionized the personal device industry. Apple revolutionized and pioneered cell phones and smart devices. Apple pioneered a music industry that nobody thought would take off, downloading music instead of buying it from a store. Apple pioneered the movie industry. And Steve Jobs, as he was talking to Stanford graduates at one of their graduation ceremonies, said these words. He says, I didn't know it at the time, but being fired from Apple was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And he said, I had the pressures and the weight of being a leader, and it freed me to look into the uncertain future, and it allowed me to enter the most creative period of my life. You see, pioneers see opposition not as something to stop them. Disappointment will come. Failures will come. You've had failures in your life where you've crashed and you've burned, and it was so bad that literally you set everything on fire around you. It was so bad. But pioneers see opposition as opportunity. They don't stop when things get hard. In the book of James, in the first chapter, it's one of those verses that we really don't like to read in the Bible. When we see this verse, I kind of think, you know, James chapter 1, verse number, I'm going to start at verse number 5 instead. James chapter 1, verse number 2 says, my brethren, count it at all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't like that verse. Why, he says, though? Because knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. But he doesn't end there. He says, but let have patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Church, a pioneer looks at opposition and they realize that this season of hardship, this season of struggle, however long it might be in your life, you realize as you are a pioneering spirit that this will make you stronger. This will make you better. This will take you further for Jesus as you pioneer for him. Like the great sequoias in California, the largest living organisms on the face of the earth. There was a fire a couple of months ago in the sequoia forest, and everybody was worried about sequoias, these old, thousand-year-old trees dying. But did you know that God, inside of the DNA of a sequoia, created something unique? That only the fire from a forest can open the pine cone to release the seed into the ground. That a sequoia might drop its pine cones, but it's until a fire burns that cone that it opens up and its seed goes into the ground. And they grow to become one of the largest living things on earth. Church, God has designed you like the sequoia. That opposition will cause you to be greater, will cause you to be bigger, will cause you to go further than you ever thought you could in life, because you have a pioneering spirit in your life. Hebrews 11 chapter verse number 15, the last thing we see in this verse, Hebrews 11 chapter verse number 15 says that they would have had the opportunity to return. If Abraham wanted to, if Jacob wanted to, if Isaac wanted to, they could have gone home and left it. But pioneers don't give up. Pioneers don't give up. When failure comes, when disappointment comes, when insecurity slaps you in the face, when inadequacy says, you can't do this and you're not capable of doing this, pioneers don't give up. Michael Jordan, arguably one of the greatest basketball players in the history of basketball. Kobe got nothing on Michael. Michael Jordan said, I have missed over 3,000 shots. 9,000 shots, excuse me. I have lost more than 300 games. And on more than 26 times in my life, they trusted me to take the game-winning shot. And he said, I missed. He said, I have failed over and over and over again in my life. But he finishes that by saying, and that is why I succeed. And that is why I succeed. A young boy who wanted to play basketball but couldn't even make his high school basketball team, went on to be one of the greatest basketball players the world has ever seen. Because pioneers don't give up. Pioneers don't give up. When things aren't going your way, don't give up. When things don't look like they have a future, don't give up. When you're planting that seed in the ground and you've been watering and you've been watering and you've been watering that seed, you've been watering that dream, you've been watering that hope, and nothing happens, don't give up. Pioneers, don't give up. I heard it this week from Pastor, and it so encouraged me that I couldn't hold on. I had to tell you, not every seed in the ground germinates at the same speed. So you're planting a seed, and somebody next to you begins to see a harvest. Your seed doesn't germinate at the same speed as the person next to you. Don't give up, because pioneers don't give up, and you are called to be a pioneer. Paul the Apostle in Galatians, the 6th chapter, Paul says to his church, he's talking to us, and he says, let's not grow weary while doing good. For in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Unfortunately, in church today, there are too many people that come and they don't see things going their way. They don't see a way out of their problem. They don't see a way over their mountain. And they give up. When all along, God said, I have put inside of you a pioneering spirit, a pioneering heart to press, to go, to do, to see what nobody's seen, to go where nobody's gone before, to see the opposition and make it an opportunity in your life. And I have called you and I have given you the grace and the ability to not give up, to endure, to press on, to run your race and finish your fight. God has given to you a pioneering spirit. Church, don't give up. Don't let insecurity, don't let inconsistency, don't let distractions, don't let discouragements stop you from that pioneering spirit that you once had in your life. Many of you in this place are already pioneers, and you're called to pioneer again, to do something for Jesus, to step out of safety and security, and to do something that will change this world. I got a little video for you. Check it out. God has called you to be a pioneer. Maybe it's time that we look into ourselves and we look into our hearts and we begin to ask ourselves that question that's so scary. The question that takes us to the unknown, that question that takes us to a place we've never been before, we've never seen. The question of what if? What if God wants me to do something more than what I'm just doing right now? You see, every week we make a proclamation in this church that the Inland Empire shall be saved. But that'll never come to pass if we as a church choose safety and security over dreams and what if. Say, church, I want to challenge you. You've been given a spirit of a pioneer in your heart by God through Jesus. And your life's destiny, the purpose of your life, is to live as a citizen, to be a representative, and to live like a pioneer, to see what nobody's seen, to go where no one's gone, to take opposition in your life and make it opportunity, and to not give up. Maybe it's time for you in your life to step out, to join a ministry, to go out with a team that reaches out to the cities, to go to the convalescent homes with the team, or to get into a group and to make a relationship, to allow yourself to be vulnerable once again in your life, because you had a dream, but somewhere life got in the way. But I want to be a church that asks the what if. I want to be a church that goes beyond just safety and security and a pretty campus. Because there are millions of people in America that die every year without Jesus. And God called us to be pioneers, to reach them, to reach people around the world that we don't know. But it starts by stepping out. It starts by going beyond our comfort zone. And I don't want to live and at the end of my life say I chose security over pioneering, because God's called us to be pioneers. And no matter where you are in life, you are called to be a pioneer for Jesus in your life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the example that Jesus has given to us. And Lord, I know that there are many in this place that have lived and that reflect back on a life of broken and destroyed dreams, Lord, sent to the back burner waiting, hoping and never seeing an answer, Lord, and losing hope. But Lord, I thank you that you have instilled in each and every one of us through creation a spirit of a pioneer to go do something. So Father, I thank you that you would teach us and show us, Lord, how to begin to see what others do not see around us. Lord, I pray that you would show us and give us the courage to go where we've never gone before in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength and the grace to see the oppositions that come our way and make them opportunities. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us the strength through Jesus who has come before us to not give up, but to press on and see that harvest, to see that dream, to see that vision come to pass as we do not lose hope in you. Lord, we thank you, Father. I thank you that you would strengthen and equip each and every person in this place. Teach us to dream again, that we might build the kingdom of God for your glory. Lord, let our dreams not be our dreams. Let our dreams be your dreams. Let us ask ourselves the big what if question. What if we lived a God dream kind of life? Lord, teach us to do so in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.